Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Joining us on the OMA guest line is Jim Nagy. Talked to him a few weeks ago about the success of this year's Reese's Senior Bowl. We bring Jim back to pick his brain, his draft brain, about what he believes we will see when it comes to the Niners and their number three pick. Jim is an ESPN NFL draft analyst, been around the NFL as a scout for a good while, so he knows his player personnel. Jim, we always appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Hey, man,
absolutely.
Thanks for coming on. So we'll just go with the open-ended question and go from there. Where do you rank the quarterbacks? We'll leave Wilson and Fields out of this because we think we know where they're going. But in terms of Jones and Justin Fields and Trey Lance, how do you have those guys slotted in your mind?
Yeah, I have it Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. I think all three players bring a lot of different things to the table. But if you wanted me to stack those three, that's how I'd do it.
Why in that order?
I just feel the best about Mac being a winning quarterback at the next level. I don't have many reservations at all. I mean, the guy got better and better over the course of the year. The interesting thing for me when it comes to this draft process is that a year ago, everyone accepted Joe Burrow as the number one overall pick. There was no pushback at all. He was widely accepted that Joe Burrow was the guy. But if you look at the two resumes between Mac and Joe, they are so eerily similar. So it's been really interesting to see the pushback on Mac Jones. And we were talking about two guys that entered their final years of college is mainly third-round picks around the league, guys that I've talked to. I mean, that's where we had them for the Senior Bowl, both of them. Actually, they had them in the same spot on our board going into the year. And they both had phenomenal senior years, record-breaking seasons in the SEC, undefeated, national champs. Very similar skill sets in terms of size and athleticism, pocket presence, arm strength. I mean, there are so many similarities between these two players. So just the different take that we have on Mac Jones and the blowback that he's getting for being talked about as a top five quarterback. It's just, again, I haven't put my finger on why it is, but it's just been an interesting dynamic in this year's draft process.
Well, you know, it is interesting. You know, Burrow showed good things his rookie year. He showed some command of the offense, but he also had a crushing injury. I just look at the athletes on defense, Jim, and say, is the prototype Burrow or is the prototype Mahomes and Josh Allen? To me, I would say it's Mahomes and Josh Allen, and then you got to decide, is Fields and Lance, are they in that neighborhood as prospects? How do you see Fields and Lance as prospects?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Mahomes and Josh Allen. I mean, there's only like a couple of those guys walking the planet right now. So sure. Those guys are great big athletes, but they also play the position at a really high level. Trey Lance is a guy that is very intriguing. A really natural thrower, love his motion, good athlete, strong, powerful winner. I know a lot of people up there at North Dakota that have been around Trey, and we had a couple of his teammates down here at the game in Mobile at the Senior Bowl that I picked their brains, and sounds like a really mature guy from the gate out of high school and very smart. But he's played at the FCS level, and he's only got 17 career starts, never against an FBS level opponent. And it sounds like he's the type of kid that's ready to make that jump, but that's asking a lot of a 20-year-old to go from a situation in Fargo where you've never lost a game and you're treated. I mean, those guys walk on water in Fargo up there. I mean, they love their Bison football up there, and there's not a lot of adversity. And now you're going to a franchise who's probably not set up to win a lot of games. So for him to kind of shoulder that burden, that's a lot. That's why I hope Trey, for his sake, ends up at a place where he doesn't have to rush on the field right away. And he can kind of ease into it. But I do really like the upside of the player just because so many great things I hear about the makeup, you know, and then with the athlete and the arm talent. I mean, it's an easy guy to like. And then, you know, Justin Fields, he's got all the physical stuff. There's not too many guys that run 4.43 or whatever he ran and have the cannon arm that he has. But I'll say this, there is some really spotty tape. Going over my time in scouting, I haven't scouted too many guys that put up performances like he did against Northwestern and Indiana and Michigan State and Alabama. You know, my colleague at ESPN, Mel Kiper, calls those hiccups, and he keeps going back to 19 tape. Well, you know, look what happens in the NFL. You get a book on a player after their first year, and teams learn how to defend you, and it's different. You got to adjust. So there's some tape that really gives you pause with Justin Fields. So does he have all the physical stuff? 100% he does. But again, Mac Jones didn't put out an above average game this year. I mean, this dude was lights out from beginning to end in the SEC. And he still has upside as a player because he hasn't played a lot of football. The game moves so slow for Mac Jones right now with limited reps. What's it going to look like in like 3 years when he's actually played a bunch of football? To me, that's the intriguing part about Mac. No one thinks he has upside because he doesn't run 4.3 or anything, but his upside is based on the fact that he's only got 17 career starts. This dude hasn't played a lot of football either. So it's an interesting class. They all kind of bring different things to the table, and that's why I think a lot of teams are seeing these guys differently and how they fit in within their scheme.
So you're telling me they have water in Fargo?
Well, it's frozen. That's how they walk on it.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I just
That's a good point. Good point. As they're going out ice fishing.
How come – here's the question I have, since you mentioned Burrow, and I didn't – you know, I never really put the two together, but it seemed like Burrow didn't get as much blowback as Mac Jones when it came to the talent around him, because no one had more talent around him than Joe Burrow. I mean, even Alabama was probably even, but they didn't have greater talent than Burrow. How come you think that keeps getting brought up this year, that Mac Jones was able to do what Mac Jones did because of all the first-round talent around him, when Joe Burrow basically had the same thing?
Yeah, and that's the other point that I forgot to point out. Yeah, Mac's taking a lot of heat that way. And to even a greater point, why didn't Tua take it? You know, Tua had better people around him than Mac did a year ago. I mean, he had Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy with him and a healthy Jalen Waddle all year. He had four first-round receivers. Tua had four first-round receivers. Mac Jones really only had Smitty. I mean, Jalen Waddle got hurt halfway through the year, so he played half of a season with Jalen Waddle and the rest of the year with one first-round wideout. So, again, you never heard that with Tua. His supporting cast, I mean, that was not harped on. And again, it's another thing that's being held against Mac Jones.
Well, but here's the difference between Burrow and Tua and Mac Jones. Burrow's an athlete. Burrow can move. He showed that when he was at LSU. He showed that when he was healthy with the Bengals. Now, he's not as good of an athlete as Justin Fields, but I think comparing Burrow to Mac Jones, Burrow is clearly the superior athlete. Same thing for Tua. Tua is clearly the superior athlete. So now when we get to the discussions of Lance and specifically Justin Fields is clearly the superior athlete. So when people look at him as a more intriguing prospect and look at Mac Jones and go, okay, where does he fit in and where does he compare? It's because Fields, who has the arm strength, he has the starts, he has all of the tools and measurables that people look at, and he's got the athleticism. So when, you know, kind of slotting who's better, who's best, I think it's hard to not look at Fields and go, man, he could throw it and he can run. And to Larry's point, in today's football, there is a lot more value placed on guys who can do what Justin Fields is seemingly tracking into doing into the league.
Well, the first point, I would disagree with you on Joe Burrow being a better athlete than Mac Jones. I think they're very, very similar. Joe is pretty clunky now. You know, Mac ran a high 4.7 40 and was a 32-inch vertical jump, which is right on par with Joe. I mean, neither of them are great, but they can both get out of harm's way, and they don't need it. They have great feel in the pocket. They do a great job of sliding and and retreating and creating enough space for them to get off the throws. So I don't see a separation between Joe Burrow and Mac Jones as athletes at all. But yeah, Justin Fields is clearly superior, like a couple notches. You know, as scouts, we always, you know, it's above average, good, very good, excellent, rare. Yeah, he's a couple levels ahead of those other guys athletically. But again, we're not talking about wide receivers and running backs here. We're talking about quarterbacks and how they play the position. I just think Mac Jones plays the position better.
If I could get a follow on that with Fields, he was injured in that Alabama game. Do you give him a little bit of pass on that? Because you mentioned, you know, the not very good tape Fields has. You mentioned the Alabama game. All credit to Alabama. I mean, they were the superior team. But it's clear that Fields was not physically in a good place.
Okay, but let's go to Michigan State, Indiana, Northwestern, where they're playing a lot of 2- and 3-star guys on defense, and they had him confused.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not the case. I'm just saying the Alabama game, I kind of give him a pass on it. You lost it. That's always going to be on you. And credit to Alabama for beating Fields and Ohio State. But I think when we're trying to say the bad tape on Fields, my thing is the other ones are legit. I get you that. But the Alabama game, I'm like, clearly the guy wasn't healthy.
Take the Alabama game out of it. There was still plenty of bad tape out of the Big Ten season. And everyone's harping on, you know, pounding the table on the Clemson game. Guys, this isn't the Clemson defense of the last few years. I mean, there's not going to be one Clemson defensive player drafted this year. So he played a good game. He hit some deep shots on him. But again, that wasn't a great Clemson defense by any stretch of the imagination. So it sounds great that he did that against Clemson. But if you break down that Clemson defense, it was a really average unit.
So you're really not feeling the game he had against Nebraska then?
Say that again?
You're really not. If you're not feeling the game against Clemson, you're definitely not feeling the game against Nebraska he had.
No.
Okay. All right.
You know, the thing, Jim, that I have a hard time with is just it's so hard to separate the quarterback from what's going on around the quarterback. I mean, especially when you're on these teams that have such incredible casts. I mean, Matt Leinart had an incredible cast and looked great at USC coming out and went, what, top 10, top 15, whatever. And you know, he had athletic deficiencies. And to me, it's just like, I guess I'd feel better about them taking Mac Jones third if you could give me some comp that has worked in the NFL. And people say, Tom Brady, he's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady's got a better arm today than Mac Jones, and he's 43 years old. I just don't see the comp on Mac Jones. To me, he looks very similar to what I saw from, Brandon Whedon, and he doesn't look that much different than Davis Webb. I looked at his tape.
Okay, I scouted both those guys. I mean, yeah. Mac Jones is such a better player than Brandon Whedon and Webb. I mean, that's not even close.
But my point is just they all have athletic deficiencies. Don't you think they all have athletic deficiencies and struggle to get away from? I mean, is there a game where Mac Jones got rushed heavily and hit and in a muddied pocket, stepped up and threw the ball downfield accurately? Because I watched so many games, I couldn't find any of those plays.
There's tons of throws like that, and you're saying it doesn't work. Look at Matt Ryan. Is Matt Ryan a great athlete? Is Kirk Cousins a great athlete? I mean, there's more guys like that than there are Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott. You know, it's worked, but there's more examples of guys like Mac Jones working in the league than these freaks that are coming out right now. I mean, there's some great ones, but again, if you get stuck on trying to find the next Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson, you're going to be waiting a long time. So, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I think Mac's a really good player. It's really hard to knock anything he put on tape this year.
Okay,
he's
sure.
Smart off the charts. He plays smart off the charts. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll see, you know, and that's what this thing's all about. I think that, you know, everyone talked about Justin Fields as the number one or number two guy all last summer and all this fall. And now we go through the season, and because he seems to be slipping a little bit, I think what happens is word trickles out from the NFL on where they have these guys ranked. And that's why it looks like he's slipping, but he's really not. I mean, all these quarterbacks, teams had Mac Jones in the second round. I was at a game in Tuscaloosa, the Georgia game this year. sitting with all the scouts, and two teams told me they had Mac in the second round last year off two starts. So, again, there's just – I think this position and this draft class has been really overly picked apart. But if you want to take a shot on a guy like Fields because he has all the athletic talent and all the physical tools, somebody's going to do it. I mean, there's a lot there. And the people that want to compare him to Josh Allen, that's fine. That's fair. Buffalo's done an unbelievable job developing Josh Allen, and hopefully wherever Justin Fields goes, they'll do the same thing with him.
Now,
is there anybody – I mean, obviously quarterbacks dominate every discussion when it comes to the NFL. Is there anybody that you think outside the quarterback position, whether it be Sewell or Chase or Waddle, who I love. I love Waddle. I think Waddle's going to be such a good player in the NFL. Health, obviously, not a concern, but if you stay healthy. But I love him. Who else out there do you see outside the quarterbacks you look at and go, that guy's going to make a mark?
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is the easy one. He's the best one that's come out since Vernon Davis, in my mind. And he's not just a – everyone's trying to label him a pass catcher and a big target. I mean, the guy will block. So, he's a legit tight end. You can put his hand in the dirt. Yeah, I love Waddle, too. I think if a head coach is willing to use him as a returner, he's the one I would take between Heath Smitty and Jamar Chase just because he impacts two phases. He's the best returner I've done since Devin Hester came out of Miami. Because he can do kicks and punts, and not a lot of guys can do both. Truly, truly electric. I mean, I left the field at the Iron Bowl, left the stadium 2 years ago when he scored four touchdowns against Auburn, and it was one of the best performances I've ever seen live. So, and there's a lot of great players. I think J.C. Horn's a really good player from South Carolina. You brought up Sewell, but I think Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, Elijah Vera Tucker mm-hmm. from USC, those guys are really good players. It's a strong draft. I mean, it really is. Like, the top 100 players in this year's draft, it's a really strong draft in the first three rounds.
You know, I looked at Waddle. I was just going to say, I looked at Waddle, Rod, that he reminded me of Tyreek Hill, not necessarily in the way they played, but the way their electricity just kind of jumped off the screen at you. Because you're talking about great athletes, and at the collegiate level, the athletes get no better than they do in the SEC. And he jumped off the screen. I mean, as good as Smith was, this guy jumped off the screen at you the way Hill jumped off the screen at you when you're watching an NFL game full of great athletes and you're just like, that guy's different. That guy's different than everybody else. And you don't find those type of guys that are just a step above other great athletes. And I don't know if Waddle will have the impact of Hill, but I think he's that type. He's that type of guy where you watch him play and you're just like, this guy's different.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's one thing to see a guy in like a group of five conference. Like, I posted something today on Twitter about a guy, D. Eskridge from Western Michigan, and he played at a completely different speed than the rest of that league. I mean, you watch tape, he almost looks like he's on fast forward. But when you do it in the SEC, when you look that different in the SEC, which Jalen Waddle does, yeah, now you're talking about something special.
Man, no doubt about that. Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl, draft analyst on ESPN. We appreciate the time, and we definitely appreciate the insight. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you soon.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me back on. Have a great rest of the week.
Hey, man,
you too, Jim.
You. Make sure you follow Jim on Twitter, @JimNagy_.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.